Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at inspireddisorder.com/plus.
This is The Ray Taylor Show.
Swipe Up, episode 231, the podcast where I share my unfiltered thoughts on the latest news and entertainment updates. I'm your host, Ray Taylor, and every Thursday I'll be bringing you fresh perspectives on a variety of topics. In this episode, I'm talking about there's some news about Quentin Tarantino's upcoming final film, The Movie Critic. I'm also going to be talking about the real threat to children, and it's not drag performances. And my final story is going to be about Elon Musk wanting to create a company town in Texas. And if history has shown us anything, it's that this will not go well. Let's get it started, shall we? With our first story, Quentin Tarantino has written his final film, The Movie Critic. Quentin Tarantino reportedly working on his final film titled The Movie Critic with plans to direct it this fall. The movie is set to take place in set in late 1970s Los Angeles. Which is cool. It'd be cool to see another kind of period piece in L.A. from him. And has a female lead, which is great to see. Not since, I believe, probably Jackie Brown has there been a female lead in a Tarantino film. It's thought, it's female lead. Those specific details are being kept under wraps, obviously. As I'm sure he would want. The story may focus, people have speculated, on Pauline Kael, a highly influential movie critic and consultant for Paramount in the late 1970s. The project is currently without a studio home and could be shopped around to buyers soon, with Sony as a potential frontrunner due to their prior working relationship. It would make sense since the majority of the other studios are owned by Disney. And I can't imagine Disney wanting to fund a Tarantino film. Sony seems like a good spot for it. Tarantino has long maintained that he wanted to direct only 10 films or retire by the time he was 60, which he will turn 60 later this month. So he will be able to do both, retire at 60 and direct his final film, which will not be the sequel to Kill Bill. However, would not be surprised if he produces. Would not be surprised at all if he produces. Because he's not going to leave the film industry. He might still, he might even come back and do more films. But I wouldn't be surprised if he, writes more films, produces more films, does TV, maybe a miniseries. Like, saying that he's only going to do 10 films, that's one thing. There's a lot of ways to tell stories in this industry. So, I don't think this will be the last time he's involved with storytelling in any way. He's also expressed a concern about directors becoming, quote, out of touch, which I agree with 100%. As they age and has deep respect for his filmography, I think Scorsese is out of touch. I did not like The Irishman. It made no sense why he cast old-ass actors and then did a horrible job at de-aging them. It was just like, it was very difficult to watch. Also, Spielberg and The Fablemans, you want to talk about a piece of film masturbation, is the story of a privileged kid getting everything he wants following his dreams of becoming a director with highly supportive parents and being given every necessity and having very little to no hurdles or obstacles. It is not a good movie at all. And I agree with this. I've said this many times about directors, that people kind of age out. You see this in every art form. There's a lot of stand-up comedians these rich stand-up comedians that are just so out of touch. There's an age and a financial status that people in creative industries reach where they just no longer exist in the same reality as everybody else, and yet still try to tell stories or connect with, create artistic products that are supposedly able to relate to everybody else, despite the fact it's like they moved to Mars and they're trying to make stories about how the world is existing after not having been here for 20 years, you know? So I 100% agree with Tarantino saying that directors get out of touch. Tarantino is known for his modern take on throwaway genres and has won 2 Oscars for Best Writing and being nominated for Best Directing and Best Picture. He's never won a Best Picture, I don't think. That's crazy. No, he has won 2 Oscars for Best Writing and, no, only been nominated for Best Directing and Best Picture. That's horrible. So only writing Oscars. Man. So if this is his last, usually the Academy don't necessarily give people an award for that performance or film. They usually will give people, like you look at Denzel Washington winning for Training Day. In his filmography, not the most Academy-deserving film that he's been in. And I would, same thing with Will Smith getting it for King Ralph. He was, in my opinion, the worst part of that movie, which I really enjoyed that movie. But Will Smith, not a good actor generally. Maybe Ali, I think, is the one, kind of the consensus film that he should have won for. But it's pretty common that directors and actors and people will kind of get a career-based award just because they were in something and they probably should have gotten an award before. So wouldn't be surprised if I was a betting man and people were taking bets on movies winning Best Picture. Would not be surprised if whatever Tarantino, as long as it's decent, which he's only ever made good movies. I mean, his worst movie is better than most people's best. So I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. Just, you know, considering it's his last, this is the one. This is their last chance. It's the last chance for the Academy to honor one of the best directors in film history with an award. Or else they will go down as, like, not understanding what quality is, right? So despite his retirement from filmmaking, he has expressed interest in other creative outlets such as limited series or plays. Ooh, Tarantino play. That would be interesting. He has a history of attracting highly coveted actors to his films, such as Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Samuel L. Jackson. So interesting to see. I've heard Julia Louis-Dreyfus floated out there as potentially the lead, which would be amazing. I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I would love to see her in a Tarantino film. Would love that. That would be amazing. I don't think I've seen her in a dramatic, like everything she's in is somewhat comedic. I don't think I've ever seen her in something dramatic. So that would be amazing. Tarantino recently published his first novel, which I've purchased, have not read, based on the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think it's like a prequel. This says it's a novelization of, but I haven't read it yet, so I want to. It's the book that I'd like, if I'm going to get back into reading, this is the book I want to read. I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, saw it multiple times in the theaters. It is one of my favorite Tarantino. I love what he's been doing with his more recent films, changing history, kind of having a more cathartic ending, some like justice kind of being done in film form for different people, different historical events. So, you know, happy to see what this turns into. Films in the fall, so it'll probably come out next year. Maybe, I don't remember when Once Upon a Time came out. I would imagine towards the end of the year. Maybe it would be towards the summer, but generally, if this is going to be a movie that if he wants to win an award, usually those movies come out later in the year, so they're fresher in the minds of the Academy. But I would imagine 2024 is when we see this movie, which I'm super excited for. One of my favorite directors. He's problematic. He's not a perfect person. he has some issues, which is only a better reason for him to step away and do what he's done. Let those be judged for when they came out in time. Let's not try and keep that style that he was successful with in the past and bringing that to modern time as culture evolves. So super excited to see what this movie is. Also, you know, probably going to be a very, I don't know the story of this person that they think it might be about. I would imagine it would be funny to, if I'm not funny, but it'll be interesting to see if he continues this trend of changing history. But also be interesting to see what his thoughts are on movie critics, which this movie is going to be about. Interested to see what that's all about. And I probably should have done some research on that person that is speculated to be the focus. But either way, I'm excited for Tarantino's 10th and final film. And I'm sure I'll love it. Like, I love all of his films, but I think his more recent films, like, he is just in such a good groove. It's amazing. Anyway, let's take a quick break from this episode because I want to talk about, are you looking for the perfect gift for that art lover in your life? Look no further than inspiredisorder.com. Our gift cards can be used to purchase original artwork from The Many Faces, a collection of over 2,000 original abstract ink portraits. These one-of-a-kind pieces make for a truly unique and meaningful gift. But that's not all. Our gift cards can also be used to purchase high-quality prints and t-shirts featuring these amazing paintings. Plus, if the recipient is a fan of The Ray Taylor Show, they can use the gift card to purchase merchandise from the show as well. So why wait? Head on over to inspiredisorder.com and purchase a gift card today. Your loved one will be sure to appreciate the thought and creativity behind such a unique gift. Thank you for considering inspiredisorder.com for all of your gift needs. And now, back to the show. Moving on. Between 1950 and 2002, one study found that nearly 4,000 children were victims of sexual abuse from Catholic clergy. Over 1,000 kids were abused in Pennsylvania alone. There's a group of adults who play dress-up and pose a serious threat to children, and it's not drag queens. This outrage over the drag queen thing is absolutely absurd. The argument that they don't want children experiencing sexually or being sexualized in any way, which doesn't happen at underage drag events. It's not happening at the story time events, but happens at professional sports games, happens at Hooters, happens in the entire town of Las Vegas. Like, there are legitimate places where children are exposed to sexual behavior that are real and dangerous, especially leaders of religions, youth pastors. There's a history of the most evil things happening to children at the hands of religious leaders. There is no proof of this drag queen thing. It is just another one of these homophobic, transphobic, labeling victimized and marginalized groups as the villain in order to make their existence illegal based on nothing. Meanwhile, I don't see any of these Proud Boys going to all of the other events where kids are introduced or exposed to sexualized. They're not protesting kids from going to Vegas. They're not protesting against kids going into rated R movies. They're not protesting against kids going to church, to youth groups, to Boy Scouts to, well, I guess there's no sexualized things, but they can definitely be targeted there. There's like sporting events where cheerleaders, if that's what they're really concerned about protecting, there's zero desire to protect kids against the one thing that is the most likely reason to kill, they'd be killed, which is gun violence. There's no push to end gun violence to save the kids, because none of those things target the LGBTQ community, because that's all they want to do. They want to target people who exist in a way that is different from them, and they excuse their behavior and their demonization of this group by the idea they're protecting kids, but they don't want to protect kids, right? Let's go into some information about the Catholic Church, shall we? Child sexual abuse by Roman Catholic priests was first publicized in 1985 when a Louisiana priest pleaded guilty to 11 counts of molestation of boys. The issue gained national attention in 2002 after publications by the Boston Globe revealed a pattern of cover-ups by many large dioceses across the U.S. Institutionalized abuse. The sex abuse crisis in the U.S. became a nationwide scandal, created a crisis for the Catholic Church. Over many decades, priests, lay members of religious orders in the Roman Catholic Church, had sexually abused children, principally boys, on a large scale. Many of the accused priests were forced to resign or were localized. I don't know what that word is. Several bishops who had participated in the cover-ups were also forced to resign or retire. The diocese in which the crimes were committed found it necessary to make financial settlements with the victims, estimated to have surpassed $3 billion in total in 2012. I mean, that's a lot of money. They're clearly doing stuff. They're losing. They're settling. They're paying people off. Oh, we're sorry that our institution raped generations, right? The majority of accused priests in the U.S. and one formal allegation of abuse made against them, and some had 10 or more allegations. Catholic bishops kept these crimes secret and resigned accused priests to other parishes. What? Resigned accused priests to other parishes in positions where they had continued unsupervised contact with youth. That moved them around. Hey, this is like cops that kill people. Oh, you're fired from this precinct. They go and get hired somewhere else where they can go kill and abuse and terrorize people again, which cops also do this. The police youth programs many times show that the police are doing some of these exact evil things that these Catholic priests are doing. The revelations nationwide led to a zero-tolerance policy by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So it took them a while to come up with a, we're no longer going to tolerate. This makes us look bad, guys. I know historically we've done this. We've not only done that, we've killed kids too. Boy, this is a bad image. They don't really care that they've abused kids. They care that it makes them look bad that they abused kids. In December 2019, it was revealed that numerous bishops across the U.S. had withheld hundreds of names of their accused clergy's list. Church officials followed a playbook for concealing the truth and minimize the abuse by using words like inappropriate contact instead of rape. The church protects its institutions at all costs and showed complete disdain for victims. The Catholic Church was paid over the Catholic Church has paid over $2 billion in settlements for sexual abuse from cases from 1950 to 2007. The total figure reached over $3 billion by 2012. 8 Catholic dioceses declared bankruptcy due to sex abuse cases from 2004 to 2011. In 2018, Roman Catholic Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis paid $210 million to victims of clergy sexual abuse. The largest settlement by any U.S. Catholic diocese in bankruptcy. In February 2020, 5 Catholic dioceses in New Jersey paid over $11 million to compensate 105 claims of sexual abuse committed by Catholic clergy. By May 2020, 3 years ago, the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Philadelphia announced it expected to pay $126 million in reparations for sexual abuse cases. Now, I would understand if this delusional idea that let's just say guns don't exist, right? Let's just put the thing that children are most likely to die from in this country, gun violence, right? Let's just imagine gun violence isn't the leading cause of death in children, right? And let's imagine for a second that the delusional idea that conservatives have that drag queens are the biggest threat to children, right? Because that's what they're acting like. That's, aside from books, that is, like, don't read things, but also drag queens. Let's just imagine that's, like, where are all of these, like, if they were even comparable, if they were even a fraction to what the Catholic Church has dealt with, billions of dollars, where's all this proof? You'll see, like, photos or videos showing, like, out of context situations where maybe it's inappropriate, but, like, if that was happening at a scale that was even close to the Catholic Church historically has done to do the most evil things to children, then they could just regurgitate those facts. But they don't ever have facts. They have memes. They have regurgitated statements made by their propaganda networks. Where's the court cases? Where are the convictions? Where are the settlements that are happening? None of these things are happening. Especially none of these things happening at the massive scale that they are happening with the Catholic Church, which is not strictly the Catholic Church being the only ones. They're the most popular. They have been so popular at raping children that it has been a joke how popular they are at raping children for generations. Where is the proof? Where is this threat to children? And that's like ignoring the fact that kids are more likely to die because guns are more popular, are more protected in this country than they are, right? That's like, that's even forgetting that. But you're never seeing Proud Boys going to churches. You're not seeing them going into youth groups protecting the kids from the youth pastors, where it is very common for children to be abused by youth pastors. Any kind of religious figure who has access to and control over young children generally will take advantage. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. So, just some facts on what an organization, an institution who has historically, throughout history, abused children in the most evil ways and gone so far as to cover it up and have been punished, monetarily punished, for the thousands of children that have at least come forward. Because for every child that actually comes forward, you know there are countless that are too damaged or have already killed themselves for what has happened. Like, they're not even an accurate representation of the total number. They are the ones that have come forward. Like, who wants to go through a public thing where you're accusing, you're on trial, they're on trial. Like, you are forever connected with being raped by a priest. So there are countless children that have not come forward. From a religious organization. Absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And it's not just the Catholic churches. Every religion takes advantage. Not everybody who's religious, but if you're the disgusting human being that wants to control and take advantage, then you put yourself in a leadership role that gives you access. Especially if you're connected to religion, which is designed to control people, which is designed to manipulate people into believing and following. They refer to themselves as a flock. They follow their pastor, their priest. It's just, it's insane, the world we're living in. And the problem is not drag queens. The problem is not story time. The problem is not children's books that acknowledge the existence of human life that exists in different forms. It is mind-boggling the direction that this country is going in. Let's take a quick break from this episode to talk about, are you a fan of art, movies, and all things entertainment? Then you need to check out youtube.com/inspireddisorder. Our page is jam-packed with all kinds of great content, including making of videos of the many faces, an ongoing art series of abstract ink paintings. But that's not all. We also feature daily episodes from The Ray Taylor Show, a podcast that brings you movie reviews, TV show reviews, episode recaps, opinions on news and entertainment, and much more. There's also a weekly diary and top 5 movie rankings of a variety of categories. And if that wasn't enough, we've also got how-to videos covering all kinds of topics. So why wait? Head on over to youtube.com/inspireddisorder and start exploring the amazing content we have to offer. And now, back to the show. Let's move on. Elon Musk is reportedly building a town in Texas for his employees to work and live in. Elon Musk is reportedly planning to build a town for SpaceX and the Boring Company staff in Texas. The town called Snailbrook, stupid town, will be located about 35 miles outside of Austin near the company's facilities. Musk and his associates have purchased at least 3,500 acres of land over the last few years to build the town. The town will feature about 110 prefabricated homes, a pool, an outdoor sports arena, a gym or sports area, a gym. The town may also include a small school and plans for a location including a private compound for Musk outside of the town. Of course, he doesn't want to be inside of the town with the workers, but he will profit from all of this land and homes that he's building and then look over it like the king on a mountain, looking down at his disciples. The vision of the town is described as a sort of Texas utopia along the Colorado River. Musk plans to offer the houses at cheaper prices to provide affordable housing for his employees. He's paying their salaries, so it doesn't really matter what he sells them at, right? Saying that he's giving them houses for less means that he can be justified in lowering their salaries. It's like, well, your mortgage is low because I sold you this house. pat myself on the back. I hooked you up, bro. So you don't need as much money because I know what you're living on. Kanye West and Musk's ex-girlfriend Grimes also discussed the idea of the town last year. It's unclear whether Musk ever fully established a city. At SpaceX's launch facility in Texas. Oh, did he try and do that? Maybe he did. But company town's I think Musk should probably look into American history. Maybe look into the history of Labor Day. Why Labor Day is a day. And maybe kind of see how he's following the steps of Pullman. And see how that kind of went wrong. And everybody that works at SpaceX and the Boring Company should probably look into Pullman, Labor Day, and a little bit of history about company towns. Because sometimes company towns failed politically due to lack of elected officials and municipally owned services, right? He's going to control it. It's his town. Which led to resentment among workers. Listen, you've seen how Musk treats employees now, just that have their own kind of freedom. Imagine when he owns where you live and controls your existence on every level. You don't think he's going to monitor everything you do like Pullman did? You think you're going to have any privacy in this town? You don't think the store that you buy from, he's going to have records of all the alcohol you buy? He's going to know exactly everything you're doing. If you get sick, is he going to look over your grocery bill and then criticize your diet and maybe not give you health care because you were doing it to yourself? I mean, you want to give somebody that kind of control over your life, some kind of weird dictatorship of a town that's, it didn't go well for Pullman. Pullman Palace Car Company made train cars. It was founded by George M. Pullman, who created the town of Pullman, Illinois, as a model town for his workers. The workers of Pullman received several wage cuts after the panic of 1893, but the rent for the company-owned homes in Pullman remained high. The workers formed a committee to ask for rent reductions, but they were flatly refused, and three committee members were terminated. Why are you talking? I mean, we've seen how effortlessly and just kind of with zero respect Musk has treated people that he's let fired. Imagine living in that guy's town. Like, anybody who understands history and has seen how Musk treats his employees, who decides to work and then go and live there, they almost, I don't want to victim blame, but should be a smart person. Just look at history just a little bit. The Pullman strike was the first national strike in U.S. history, involving over 150,000 persons and 27 states and territories. President Grover Cleveland ordered federal troops to crush the strike, resulting in dozens of deaths. A national commission formed to investigate the cause of the strike found that Pullman's paternalism was partly to blame and labeled it un-American. In 1898, the Illinois Supreme Court required Pullman to dissolve their ownership of the town. The Pullman strike initiated a new chapter in the existence of company towns, leading to the abandonment of the old model of paternalism in favor of new, professionally designed company towns. There's also a podcast I would recommend, a history podcast, and they did a two-part podcast on Pullman and his rise. Basically, it's his story, but it ends with the Pullman strike. And it's brutal. And of course, the government, as they were then and are now, defend businesses. I mean, railroads, we're seeing that today with the Norfolk Southern, how the government will allow these businesses to be unregulated, put towns at risk in order to maximize profit. And every time these companies fail, the government pay our tax dollars. It's not the companies that pay, it's their tax dollars. They get bailed out. It's just absolutely disgusting. And, you know, it's not surprising that Elon Musk would do this in Texas. It's just, you know, and he doesn't like organizing. So it's like these people living in these homes, like do you think he's going to pay you enough so you can move to relocate? Because with the Pullman thing, like people were starving because he raised rents and didn't want to pay them anymore. And as long as people weren't actually dying, he's like, well, I pay him enough to survive. Look into history. Didn't end well for Pullman. Definitely won't end well for Elon Musk, who's already shown to be a disgusting human person. Anybody that would want to work for him almost deserves what they get. But I feel bad for the people that worked at these places before he came on board. Right? I feel bad for the people that had to deal with him at Twitter. You know, I feel bad for the people who maybe started with Tesla before he came on board, because he didn't invent the electric car. He didn't start Tesla. He's a guy that comes from money. Parents own a mineral mine in apartheid South Africa. I don't know if you've seen the melanin content in Elon Musk's skin, but he was on the abuser side, the dominant side of apartheid South Africa, right? It's a little bit different dynamic. Even still, parents, even if it wasn't apartheid Africa, parents owned a mineral mine or a gem mine, I think. Comes from money. Not self-made in any way. Anyway, not going to end well. History repeats itself. But whatever. Nothing will change. Let's do some shout-outs and get out of here. Shout-out to IGN.com. Shout-out Brave New Films. Shout-out Pubbity. And shout-out to you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Swipe Up. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts and insights on the latest news and entertainment updates. Please join the conversation by leaving a comment or rating on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube if you're watching this. I'll see you next Thursday for more unfiltered opinions and fresh perspectives. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on YouTube and everywhere podcasts are found. Binge the full week over at inspireddisorder.com/plus. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace out!
Today is the day where you wake up and you realize that everything that you've been dreaming about, everything that you've been wanting, every goal and wish and hope that you've ever had can become real. Dreams can come true. What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.